Such a process, however, takes hundreds of millions of years and often even billions of years. 79. That is, my friend, what I may explain. Billy, that's more than I expected. But you can tell me what happens later, then, with a black hole. Somehow, it will, indeed, convert back into something, right? Quetzal, 80. That is correct. 81. Once a critical mass of a black hole is reached, it starts to heat up in a resulting internal atomic fire to such an extent that from this, an enormous solar structure develops, which then separates as an enormous flow of matter and explodes, from which new structures, gases, and nebulae, etc. develop again, which ultimately enter into the gravitational field of a black hole again, from which a new galaxy then develops. Billy, since we're already at it, as I was able to determine on my great journey with Tu and Sam Jace, very many stars are seen from the Earth, which actually aren't such, that is which aren't suns, but rather gigantic nebulous formations and galaxies in the depths of space, located at distances that are to be calculated at many tens of thousands or even millions and tens of millions of light years from the Earth. Not to mention the alleged stars that can't be seen from the Earth with the eye or with simple telescopes, etc., since they are located billions of light years away. Many of the so-called naked eye stars that are incredibly far away from the Earth truly aren't such, rather, they are gigantic, radiating nebulous formations or galaxies. Quetzal, 82. That corresponds to the truth, and in this connection, there can only be talk of those objects that are located at very far distances from the Earth, because from this, there are very many actual solar objects to be seen, which are located at much closer distances. Billy, my speech also isn't of these actual suns but just of those very distant objects that are only visible from Earth as so-called stars, but in reality, these are very luminous nebulous formations or galaxies, which exhibit enormous dimensions of dozens or even hundreds of light years and which exist at distances of many light years, which must be counted in the dozens, hundreds, thousands, or even millions. Quetzal, 83. My words also corresponded to this notion. Billy, excuse me, then it was a misunderstanding, and while we're already at it, unfortunately, it happens over and over again that misunderstandings arise, in connection with the old forms of speech, so also in connection with castration and sterilization, as these two concepts are called in the Talmud manual. Of course, I strive hard to clarify these misunderstandings in myself in the best possible manner, just in accordance with my knowledge. Over these two concepts and their actual meaning, I was instructed in such a way by Sfuth, and also the storage banks freely gave the same information, that the action of castration and sterilization, in the old sense and, thus, also in the sense of the Talmud manual, didn't mean that the fallible ones, who were included in this action, had their gender deformed or removed. Rather, the sterilization and castration quite simply took place through the fact that the possibility of bisexual-sexual intercourse was taken from the fallible ones, in that they were separated from the opposite sex and were taken to places of compliance, where in accordance with the gender of the fallible ones, only those of the same sex had to serve their term, that is their punishment, as this is simply called today. As Sfuth explained, this separation from the presence of the opposite sex corresponded to the so-called castration and sterilization because through this action, no bisexual relations and, thus, no bisexual-sexual intercourse could take place anymore, which also prevented that fallible descendants could be produced. This, in turn, ensured that no fallible ones, that is criminals, and with these, asocial child elements, could be placed into the world, who would have then enjoyed a bad upbringing by their fallible parents and by their environment and would have even become fallible ones, criminals, and asocial ones. In addition, now the question as to whether this was also kept and handled in such a way with your ancient peoples, since this law goes back to the age-old laws of Enoch and Enoch, whose most distant descendants are your peoples. And what about today? If this law applied to you in earlier times, does it still also apply today? Quetzal, 84. What you have just explained also corresponds to the truth. 85. And in fact, it is also the case that our ancient peoples handled the law addressed by you to its full extent. 86. The law still invariably applies today, but it already hasn't been put to use for several millenniums, due to the fact that there are no more fallible ones, criminals, and asocial elements among us. Billy, Sfeth already enlightened me as a small boy about the fact that new religious sects will continuously arise and run rampant starting from the 50s, even so-called UFO sectarianism, parapsychology sectarianism, and esoteric sectarianism, which has also proven itself to be true since that time, like also many other things that he predicted to me for the future. His words were that as a result of this, very bad things and events would occur, which has also, unfortunately, proven itself to be true. Against this sectarianism, so I think, something should be done, which I would do with great pleasure. Unfortunately, I see no great chances therein if I would strive for this, but this still won't keep me from raising my voice against it, which certainly won't make me more popular, however. So far, I have only had bad experiences. The question is, whether there is still any sense to it. What do you think? Quetzal, 87. Your actions relating to this are well known to us. 88. Thus, we also know that you are badly attacked from a more religious as well as from a purely sectarian side, which is certain to bring you unpleasantness in time and even legal actions against you because sectarians, who are attacked with the truth, usually defend themselves vehemently, in order to downplay and to deny their wrongdoings. 89. Sectarians are liars, swindlers, and cheats, who are only out to rally believers and enslaved ones around themselves, in order to exploit these and to be able to position themselves in the light and in the forefront, as self-appointed eminences and divinities of their own graces or as representatives of a god or any allegedly high and lofty as well as all-knowing and powerful extraterrestrial, etc. 90. But we have already talked about this. Billy, right, but that doesn't answer my question as to whether I should continue in my actions against sectarianism. Quetzal, 91. We must leave this to your decision and responsibility. Even though we think that your actions relating to this are right and desirable for the dissemination of the truth. Billy, that is a clear answer. With this, I also know that I'm really going to incur legal action and more religious and sectarian enemies. Then so be it, and then, I can also immediately lash out on the timpani with what I say now, which will then also be written down as a contact conversation and be spread throughout the world. So then, religions and sects sow hatred and separation of the people among themselves, and they drive their believers, enslaved ones, and fanatics into harming, abusing, fighting, and eradicating those of other beliefs. Since ancient times, religions and sects do not create peace, freedom, harmony, and love, but rather animosity, anger, quarrel and rage, as well as blind fury, racial hatred, hatred against other faiths, bondage, dependence, servitude, slavery, war and strife, distress, misery, sorrow, anxiety and fear, delusional faith, superiority over other people, autonomy, and many, many other serious evils, through which murder and mayhem prevail among the earth people. Through the insanity of the religions and sects, it has been determined since time immemorial as to what lives are worth living, namely only those who belongs to one's own religion or sect, while everything else is hedonistic, damnable, and worthy of eradication. Through their dogmas, delusional beliefs, and fanaticism, the religions and sects determine the insanity and the inhumanity of making war upon and exploiting those of other faiths. It is even determined as to who owns the goods, the property, and the country and as to what nations and what states have a right to live or not. religions and sects determine the existence or non-existence of people, nations, and states. And religions and sects are the most powerful and most dangerous means of power and force, as well as of the wars, the capital, the exploitation, and the deception of the people. In the foreground, they preach love and peace, but in the background, they create, demand, and promote murder and mayhem, robbery and terrorism against those of other faiths, in order to bring their own religion or sect to power, no matter how much human blood flows and is shed and no matter how much pain, sorrow, grief, distress, and misery, as well as hatred and terrorism develop again by this. However, almost no person wants to hear or know these truths because the real truth is not in demand but only lies and deceit, swindling and fraud, as well as deception. These worthless ones are the ones to whom people give their attention and their faith. Thus, it happens that every prophet or every prophetess of the truth is banished to the desert, where they can no longer be heard. And in fact, it is also the case that those who announce the effective truth become designated as sectarians by their critics and enemies and become attacked, slandered, and denigrated. And this, even though between a sectarian or sect and a prophet or prophetess, there is such a huge difference in the effective truth, which should actually be recognized by a rational person. But obviously, the critics and enemies are devoid of any reason in this regard. They only practice criticism and slander, in order to assert themselves for the sake of material rewards, for they are hostile to the truth or the truth simply does not penetrate into the brains of the critics or slanderers due to their own arrogance. One reason for this may be that their reason and intellect are not strong enough, so the real truth cannot be recognized. But there are still many other reasons for this, and enumerating them all would probably fill books. Quetzal, 92. Those are words that are not to be denied. Billy, there's still much more to say, namely that by and large, the Earth people aren't actually interested in the effective truth but only in unreal things and lies of religions, sects, swindlers, liars, and cheats, who lie their heads off, hypocritically preaching doctrines of salvation and plans of salvation and giving just as deceitful promises of salvation, which can never be fulfilled. And the Earth people fall for this because to them, in their falsehood and in their ignorance, in which they eke out their existence and search for a better life and for the real truth, there is a real need for salvation. And the rule is that through the deception of the religions and sects, the people rely on the false story of divine salvation and on the divine plan of salvation. Through this, with unintentional force, they push every responsibility far away from themselves, relying on the message of salvation and, therewith, on the redemption, which will never become a reality, by God or by his hosts of angels, by Jesus Christ, by saints or even by those who are deceased, who should bring help from the beyond, or by extraterrestrials, as this has been preached and has been maintained for quite some time by irresponsible and exploitative UFO sect gurus, who will support themselves as such in the future, as Firth explained, by what means all of the chiefs of the sects become very rich, for they financially exploit their followers and believers, as well as those who are enslaved to them and other fools, and through this, they live in joys and glory. The Earth people do not run to the truth but to lies and deception, to religions and sects, and they believe everything that they are led to believe and everything that is given to them by the sect bosses and religious bigwigs. With this, I in no way want to attack those religionists, that is those parishioners, priests, monks, devotees, and other religious representatives, who are devoted to their faith in honesty and who maintain love, peace, freedom, harmony, humanity, and true brotherly love, etc. in the best form. In fact, I know many such people, and their way of life in these forms could not be better. Therefore, I give them all necessary respect and due reverence, even though they are connected to a religious faith. But those whom I attack are all those who cannot be added to these worthy people because they are among the severe or most severe fallible ones who, in their degeneracy, give no honor to the designation of person, having parasite-like, mendacious, swindler-like, and deceitful thoughts, feelings, emotions, and ways of acting, and through these, they deeply and disgustingly alienate and dissociate themselves from the designation of honorable person. Quetzal, 93. Unfortunately, everything is actually so, as you say. 94. And it will still take a very long time before the people of the earth reflect and begin to look for their salvation no longer in the religions and sects but rather in the reality, in that they turn their ears and their minds to the actuality and truth. 95. Many centuries and even millenniums will still pass before the seeds of the truth, which you painstakingly sow, will rise up, germinate, and thrive, for which you will, as a rule, only reap ingratitude, bad words, and criticism, as well as slander and attacks on your life, as this has, so far, already been the case several times. 96. Nevertheless, you must still do your work because the spreading of the seed is of urgent necessity. 97. First, there will only be few, who will cultivate the seeds that are sown and who will allow fruits to thrive from this, but these will gradually multiply themselves and spread all over the world. 98. Everything will be very laborious, however, because the truth isn't wanted to be heard or recognized, rather, only a message of salvation and an alleged salvation bringing of religious and sectarian form are demanded to be heard and are expected, as you have expressed this clearly. 99. Very many people of the earth think and hope in this way because they are not acquainted with the truth and are not taught this, rather, they are deceived and cheated by the false religions and false representatives and by the sectarians and their followers, namely through erroneous teachings, false evoking of hope, and through unrealizable, dishonest, and unreal promises. 100. Through the pretense of false facts, the people are made into believers, enslaved ones, and fanatics who, without hesitation and without any scruple, don't even shy away from murder, in the name and belief of their religion or sect, as well as in accordance with the instructions of the religious leaders and sect leaders, and from brutally massacring their fellow people, in order still to desecrate them and rob them later. 101. You correctly cite with your words that there are, of course, also respectable, proper, and dignified people among the religionists, but unfortunately, these correspond to a very small minority. Billy. That is right, and thus, it must simply be said clearly and plainly. But now, we should have talked enough about this. There are still some other questions that I would like to ask if your time still allows you to answer these for me. Quetzal, 102. Just ask. Billy. Good, thank you. As you also know, the custom prevails among the earth people, at least among many, that deodorants are used against perspiration. But to my knowledge, there is the risk of the elimination of immunity against bacteria and fungus, etc. At least, that's what I can remember, which Sferth explained to me. He also taught me that through the reduction of perspiration, wrong smells arise, by what means the partners of the opposite sex, both the female as well as the male, become misled, for the male partner or the female partner cannot be in his or her right smell, that is right scent, right aroma, or right fragrance. This means that through the use of sweat-absorbing means, even deodorants and so on, and through an artificial smell, that is scent, what can no longer be perceived of the relevant person's own scent becomes distorted and obscured. Then, if the artificial means against the development of sweat are no longer applied, then the natural scent penetrates through again, which does not appeal to the male partner or to the female partner, which can then lead to conflict and to the breakup of the relationship and connection, and indeed, this also happens in many cases. Moreover, the scent of the sweats of females and males is also decisive for sexual stimulation, which naturally becomes disturbed and falsified by the use of antiperspirants. Thus, a male partner and a female partner can have thriving sexual relations and joys as long as deodorants and other antiperspirants are applied, but if a discontinuance of the same occurs, then aversion or even disgust mutually arises among both people. But that isn't enough, for as I already said, the immune system is also impaired by the use of antiperspirants, etc., in the form that fungus and eczema develop, and bacteria begins a health destructive work and can carry this out. The question now is whether you can tell me something more about this. Quetzal, 103. By and large, you said what is necessary, but I can still explain the following. 104. The sweat of the person is a very necessary product of the body, through which this is protected against infections. 105. There is a very specific substance that is contained in the sweat, which I may not mention officially, however, due to our directives, for this would be a serious intervention in the earthly medical development, and this protects the skin from bacteria being able to settle and form on it, along with eczema, fungus, inflammations, and infections. 106. This defense substance produced by the body's sweat practically forms the body's own antimicrobial antibiotics, which have huge effects and even prevent inflammations and skin infections, etc. 107. Sweat develops, therefore, a very strong protection of an antibiotic nature, which, however, is just as much destroyed by deodorants and other antiperspirants, as you call them, as by too frequent washing. 108. Just for this reason alone, a simple body wash should be carried out each day, and only with clear water, without the use of chemical cleaning agents. 109. Such should only find use if work operations or other very dirty operations require it. 110. Under normal conditions, so with activity that doesn't accumulate a lot of dirt, neither a shower nor a bath should be taken every day, for such destroys the antimicrobial protection of the sweat, by what means health damages can appear. 111. Frequent colds and attacks of the flu, as well as many other symptoms, often trace back to the fact that too much showering or bathing took place and, in addition, that chemical hair cleaners and body cleaners were used. 112. If very dirty work isn't required, then at most, one full bath or one full body shower each week should be sufficient for the maintenance of hygiene and health. Billy, unfortunately, with the irrationality and erroneous views of the earth people, that will be met with deaf ears and with a horrendous desire to know better. Quetzal, 113. That will probably be the case. 114. Unfortunately, the fact of the need for sweat education, in the form discussed by us, is not yet known by terrestrial medical science, for up to now, only inadequate assumptions exist, which are geared toward the notion that the calcium content of the sweat forms some protection for the body. 115. In accordance with the current researches of the terrestrial scientists, it should still take, at least, another 15 to 20 years before they find out the truth through their efforts. Billy, that is bitter medicine, my son. But what it is, one cannot change it anyways. But now, my friend, it has already become early morning, so I should still get some sleep, for my day will be strict and long again. You also know that Saturday is a work day for me, as it also is for you. I will keep the other questions for our next meeting and will ask them then. Quetzal, 116. You also actually look quite exhausted. 117. So I will go then. 118. Until we meet again. Billy, until we meet again. Translator's comments. The confusion that may have arisen in the minds of modern English readers of the Talmud of Jmanuel, when confronted with the words Int Manon, which has been translated in early editions of the Talmud of Jmanuel as castration, and Int Wibung, which has been translated in early editions as sterilization, has been eliminated in the fourth edition. For example, chapter 12 and verse 12 of the Talmud of Jmanuel was formerly translated as, whoever sexually abuses a child is unworthy of life and its laws and shall therefore be punished by castration or sterilization and be deprived of freedom through lifelong confinement and isolation. In the fourth edition, the same verse is now translated as, Whoever sexually abuses a child is unworthy of life and its laws and shall therefore be punished by being cut off from the community and be deprived of freedom through lifelong confinement and isolation. In more recent translations, such as in the Goblet of Truth, Intmanun is now translated as separation of men, where men are being separated from women, and Intwibung is now translated as separation of women, where women are being separated from men. 219th Contact, Tuesday, June 16, 1987, 1:30 a.m., Quetzal, 1. I am glad to see you again. 2. Anyhow, I longed for a conversation with you. Billy, the joy is also mine. A warm welcome. Quetzal, 3. Thanks, my friend. 4. If you don't mind, right at the beginning of our meeting, I would like to talk about something that moves me. Billy, nothing stands in the way of that. But later, can I still ask you some questions? Quetzal, 5. Of course. 6. Then I will begin. 7. It concerns the following, 8. But now, the time has advanced more than what I estimated for our conversation. 9. After all, we've talked for more than 2 hours. 10. But it was a great joy for me, and I would also like to thank you for your explanations and your advice. 11. You amaze me more and more. Billy, the conversation was also a joy for me, and there is no reason for you to thank me, rather, I should sooner thank you, for you gave me so much trust and initiated me into your private matters. But let's leave this, because if you have some more time, then I would be glad if I could still ask some questions. Quetzal, 12. I already gave you my assent. Billy, if it's possible, I would still like to know a few things about the future, namely about the boom and the financial management of the companies and nations throughout the whole world. What is to be said about this? Quetzal, 13. The boom is almost over, and everything is approaching a great decline, with steadily rising unemployment in all industrialized nations of the world. 14. This is due to a steadily increasing irresponsibility and mismanagement of the responsible persons who will fill their pockets with money and, through this, create enormous mountains of debt. 15. The managers, boards of directors, and owners of firms will pay out millions of sums to themselves, which they will declare as remunerations or as settlements, and this already happens now and will happen more and more. 16. Monstrous mountains of debt arise from these financial distributions, which will ultimately amount to hundreds of billions of Swiss francs or US dollars and, in the new millennium, even euros. 17. But not only this form of economic crime will occur in the coming time but also that which will exist as fraud and theft as well as false accounting and large-scale accounting fraud. 18. This also applies to the rest of the financial economy and the stock market operations, which will suffer tremendous precipitations and losses especially after the turn of the millennium, which, overall, will basically be due to the incredible criminal and global mismanagement of an economic and financial form. 19. Through the economic criminals, the nations and the firms will, in large numbers, be driven into ruin, to collapse, and into insolvency and, thus, into bankruptcy, and there won't be any responsible persons who will confront all this criminal mismanagement because everyone is either too trusting, naive, or too stupid to recognize and grasp the truth, or because they themselves are out for millions, in order to redevelop themselves thereby in a criminal manner. 20. And since no responsible person will actually be able to be found, it will be such that a collapse of the financial economy and the industry takes place, which means that many economic enterprises and industrial enterprises will merge, lose their names, or change and, in the end, be dissolved, for the financial resources seep away completely. 21. Also, the financial stock exchange will experience very bad times in the coming years, but not until the third millennium will the worst stock exchange periods drive the shareholders nearly to despair, when the profits dwindle away in billions of dollars and Swiss francs, etc. and only bring the stock exchange paper's weak values. 22. And also in the upcoming European Union, there will be a lot of trouble when a new currency, called the euro, is introduced. 23.